From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Joshua as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled Principles of Spiritual Warfare. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. The hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Our hope in Christ for the future is the mainspring and the mainstay of our joy here. It will animate our hearts to think often of heaven, for all that we can desire is promised there. Here we are weary and toil-worn, but yonder is the land of rest, where the sweat of labor shall no more bedew the worker's brow, and fatigue shall be forever banished. To those who are weary and spent, the word rest is full of heaven. We are always in the field of battle. We are so tempted within and so molested by foes without that we have little or no peace. But in heaven we shall enjoy the victory, when the banner shall be waved aloft in triumph, and the sword shall be sheathed, and we shall hear our captain say, Well done, good and faithful servant. We have suffered bereavement after bereavement, but we are going to the land of the immortal, where graves are unknown things. Here sin is a constant grief to us, but there we shall be perfectly holy, for there shall by no means enter into that kingdom anything which defileth. Hemlock springs not up in the furrows of celestial fields. Oh, is it not joy that you are not to be in banishment forever, that you are not to dwell eternally in this wilderness, but shall soon inherit Canaan? Nevertheless, let it never be said of us that we are dreaming about the future and forgetting the present. Let the future sanctify the present to highest uses. Through the Spirit of God, the hope of heaven is the most potent force for the product of virtue. It is a fountain of joyous effort. It is the cornerstone of cheerful holiness. The man who has this hope in him goes about his work with vigor, for the joy of the Lord is his strength. He fights against temptation with ardor, for the hope of the next world repels the fiery darts of the adversary. He can labor without present reward, for he looks for a reward in the world to come.
These days are drawing close to an end. God has been working on you, my dear friend.
Thank you.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. In chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 of the book of Joshua, we find Joshua alone at night near Jericho, probably musing on the battle to come. At that point, he received a visit from the captain of the Lord of Hosts, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the third in a series of spiritual preparations for the conquest of Canaan. The rite of circumcision and the feast of the Passover had been reinstituted. Now the Lord himself came to Joshua to remind him that although physical activity was necessary in the Lord's work, there must first be a meeting with the God of heaven and earth. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, for God's people, earthly battles must be fought on spiritual grounds. Now to commence this message, Principles of Spiritual Warfare, here is Dr. Cairns.
Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. To verse 15. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Joshua did so. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. The position of a commander-in-chief can be a very, very lonely one. When his battle plans are complete and he's awaiting the supreme moment of decision, he stands isolated from other men. He has done all he can, and now he must await the outcome. Joshua was no exception. He felt the weight of his responsibility, and he knew that he must bear that responsibility before the Lord alone. It was doubtless with such feelings that Joshua was casting a soldier's eye over the city of Jericho one last time. He expected, no doubt, to note its strengths and its weaknesses, to estimate how, where, and with what effect its defenders would fight. That's what he went to see. What he actually saw was something very, very different. He saw that a man stood in his way with a drawn sword. Now to Joshua, there could only be two kinds of armed strangers in that area. Either the armed stranger would be for Israel, or the armed stranger would be against Israel. And Joshua was determined to find out. So very boldly he accosted this stranger, and he said, "Art thou for us, or for our adversaries?" The answer he received was as glorious as it was unexpected. The stranger said, verse 14, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." Now that this was what Bible scholars call a Christophany, that is, a pre-incarnation appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, that this was a Christophany is beyond doubt. As soon as Joshua heard those words, he fell on his face before this stranger, and he worshipped him, and he called him his Lord. No angel could receive such worship. In fact, any time any creature ever sought to fall in worship before an angel of God, the angel immediately stopped him and said, "Not so, I am a creature." On this occasion, as Joshua fell and worshipped before this visitor, his worship was received, something that no mere creature could have done. What Joshua had that day was a visitation from the Son of God. What Joshua had before the battle of Jericho was a face-to-face meeting with his Lord, as in this great appearance the Savior came to him as the angel of the Lord and the captain of the Lord's hosts. Now it may appear at first sight a little strange that Joshua didn't seem to expect such a visitation. And on second sight, it still appears strange. You see, the Lord had promised that he would send his angel before them. Moses had said in Exodus 22, or the Lord, should I say, had said to Moses in Exodus 23, verse 23, "Mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off." There was an explicit promise that the angel of the Lord would come and go before his people as they entered into Canaan and lead them into battle. And yet Joshua, great godly and spiritual giant of a man though he was, Joshua was taken utterly by surprise. He was not expecting the angel of the Lord. As I thought of that, I realized how true to life that picture is. We tend to expect less than the Lord has promised, always. We make do with less than the Lord has promised. We go to war without seizing every part of the Lord's provision. We become satisfied with a certain amount of blessing. We are satisfied with hearing Him speak to us from His Word. We're satisfied with the Lord revealing to us His will for our service. We're satisfied with the comfort of the promises of God concerning victory. Now, these are all marvelous things, and they are blessings that we ought not to take lightly. But the Lord promises much more than this. The Lord promises His presence in the battle, His presence in the place and hour of service. He promises us the personal visitation of the Spirit of Christ. Why we should rejoice that we have heard the Word of God, that we have received the commission of God, that we enjoy the promises of God, we ought not to miss out on the vital aspect of the personal presence of our God with us. The presence of God realized. That is the key to doing anything of worthwhile effect in the work of God. The personal knowledge of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of power from on high, that encounter with God that changes us, changes our situation, changes our service, and changes the outcome. That is something we dare not do without. That's what Joshua was in danger of doing without. As he went forward, without even thinking of the promise of God regarding the presence of the angel of the covenant, or as he's here termed, the captain of the Lord's host. And so the Lord graciously came to Joshua outside Jericho. Now this was the third very significant thing that happened at Gilgal after the children of Israel had crossed the Jordan and before they set out to conquer Canaan. We have looked at the first two and their spiritual significance. But the Lord held Israel up for quite a considerable time at Gilgal. First, circumcision was reinstituted, that great sign and seal of the covenant. Then the Passover was reinstated in Israel. And now finally, the third great event at Gilgal, the Lord meets with Joshua as the captain of the Lord's host. It appears that the Lord was in no great hurry to have Israel go to war. Now they had to go to war, but that would come soon enough. We tend, especially in this frenetic age, we tend to think that there's nothing of any value but immediate and constant activity. The activity must come. This must be an active church. Your life must be an active life. But let us learn from this. The Lord was in no great hurry to have Israel go to war. While they were waiting in this hiatus between their entry and their conquest in the promised land, there were important lessons for them to learn. Lessons that were going to be absolutely vital to their conduct of the war and to their conduct of themselves in that war. This appearance of the captain of the Lord's host taught Joshua many things, and the same appearance teaches us many things. And I want us today to think upon what I'll call the principles of spiritual warfare. The things which we must recognize as we fight the Lord's battles. These are the principles of spiritual warfare. The things we must recognize as we fight the Lord's battles. The first thing we must recognize is the reality of the spiritual world. Joshua, like the rest of us, was on earth facing a flesh and blood situation with flesh and blood armies fighting or soon to fight flesh and blood enemies. Now, very often we can, just as I think Joshua could, become very, very tied in to this world and to what is tangible, so that we miss out the great spiritual realities that lie unseen to the carnal gaze. When the captain of the Lord's host came to Joshua, Joshua saw the reality of a world which others seldom recognized. He learned that every earthly battle is first and fundamentally a spiritual battle. Now, Jericho, as I've said, was very much physical. Its walls were physical. Its people were physical. Its great defensive posture was physical. But Joshua had to learn, behind the visible, the physical, and the obvious, there lies a world of spiritual reality. And the battle on earth must be fought on spiritual grounds. That is the constant teaching of the Word of God. Paul, in the oft-quoted words of Ephesians 6:12, teaches the same thing. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Sum it all up, spiritual wickedness. That's what we wrestle against. Principalities and powers. Those are angelic forces, fallen angelic forces. But it's all summed up in spiritual wickedness. That's what we're wrestling against. And that's why he told the Corinthians that carnal weapons are no use in this. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, he's saying there are strongholds to be assaulted. There are imaginations to be cast down. There are high things that have exalted themselves against the knowledge of God, and they must be challenged and defeated, brought into captivity to Christ. But we must recognize that the battle is fundamentally a spiritual affair. Think of the evidence of Scripture. Colossians 1:13, the nations of this world lie in the power of darkness. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the people of this world are blinded by the god of this age. Now, that's the real nature of the battle we're engaged in. Behind idolatry and idols stands Satan. The power of darkness is real. The power of darkness is never more real than when it appears to be unreal. When people can only focus on the visible, on the physical, and they dismiss the very thought of the supernatural and the unseen and the spiritual, that spiritual power is never more real and never more dangerous than at that time. Very often what is presented in merely earthly terms, what's presented, for instance, as the result of human progress or the advancement of human thinking or culture or the necessary result of human discovery. Very often, what's thus presented is really just the powers of hell in disguise. ¶¶
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.